You are Locked On Angels, your daily Los Angeles Angels podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Everybody, welcome to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, now brought to you by Hotels.com. You're locked in with Taylor Blake Warden. Oh, it feels good to be back.
Welcome back.
Oh, well, thank you. I had a great time overseas. Before I even get into the show at all, I got to thank Jason Hernandez, Derek Ciapala, and Raul Seti for taking over the show during my absence. It was I went back and listened to all of their shows. They did such a great job, represented Locked On Angels so well, and I got a lot of feedback from you, the listeners, saying, hey, Jason did a great job, Derek did a great job, Rahul did a great job, and I just want to send my personal thank you to all of those guys for not only stepping in, but just being loyal friends of mine and taking over the show and making sure that you all had daily content here at Locked On Angels. This is your daily one. See? You come back and you forget how to say things. Your number one daily stop for Angels information you can only find here at Locked On Angels. So huge thank you to those guys. Today is Monday, August 19th, 2019. We are doing our Sunday night Twitter question answer where I send out a tweet about 9 p.m. Pacific time here on the West Coast. I say, hey, send me any and all your baseball questions. I'll answer them here through midnight, here on Twitter, obviously. And the best ones make the show on Monday morning, which is what we're doing now. So you want to be a part of the show. Obviously, you won't be a part of the show this week because I'm explaining it to you after it's already happened. But if you want to be a part of the show next week, follow us on Twitter at Locked On Angels. You can follow me personally at Taylor Blake Ward. I'll send out that tweet. Send me a question, and I'll make sure to bring it here to the show on Monday morning. I have found out recently that if you have a private Twitter account, I can't get your question. I don't get to read it because it's private. So when it's sent to me, I'm not able to read it if I'm not following you. So if you have other questions, send me an email at TaylorBlakeWard@yahoo.com. That's my email. Feel free to send me an email with a question, and I'll make sure to bring it to the show as well. And it's great being back. We're going to jump into your questions. Before we do anything, though, we got to remind you, follow us on Twitter. Like we said, at Locked On Angels. You can follow me here at Taylor Blake Ward. Also, make sure to download today's show or any of the episodes through the Locked On Podcast Network via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or the new Himalaya Podcast. You got free and easy to download through your Apple app or Google Play Store. Now, I know that last Monday there was a little bit of audio struggles with Rahul. I talked to him about it. He said it sounded great on his phone, but when he came back, it just didn't work out. So he wanted to apologize for that, and obviously I'm going to apologize here for him too, but I think he did a great job. I was able to listen to it. The audio was low, but I was able to listen to it. He did a great job. But let's get to your questions here. We're going to start off with some prospect questions as we do a little bit of prospect miscellaneous here in the first segment. In the second segment, we'll jump into a little bit more Angels direct questions. So let's start off like we have in previous podcasts and these Q&As from a question from Vincent Page 74 at Vincent Page 74, who asked the most random, awful questions ever. He says, did you miss me? No, Vincent, I didn't, man. Sorry, buddy. I had a really good time. His secondary question, middle of the seventh inning, take me out to the ballgame just ended. I'm sitting in right field. Think I could hop onto the field, make it to second before security gets me. I am a slightly below average athlete. Vince, don't do it, man. If you're listening in and you ever think about doing something like this, I know Vince is kidding, but if you ever think about doing this, don't. It's so stupid. It's so dumb. And first off, you're jumping from right field, you're going to bust your ankle falling off that wall. Secondly, the guys that are on security, some of those guys were D1 football players, D2 football players. They're really good athletes, and when they hit you hard. So don't be stupid. And I know Vince is kidding, but that's my, what do you call that, a PSA? PSA? What do you call those? Well, whatever it is, just don't do it. Don't be dumb. One thing, a lot of people asked me over the weekend. I got home before the weekend. A lot of people asked me over the weekend, how was my trip? It was great. I loved it. We went to Paris, did the Eiffel Tower, did the Musée d'Orsay. Got to spend time with my wife, which is, you know, spending time with your wife in Paris is about as cool as it gets. I think I won Husband of the Year award. I took her on a rowboat in a palace. It was a castle where the king and queen are, and I took her in a rowboat in the garden that went for miles. So I think I got Husband of the Year award on that one, and that was my favorite part of the trip. So it was a blast. So how about this one? From Trout for Prez 2024 at Halo Nation 335. If you won the All-Star Game MVP, are you taking the truck or the sports car? If it's still Chevy sponsorship, I'll take the Corvette. I'll take that new ZR1 with like 700 horsepower right off the lot. Heck yeah, I'll take that thing. I don't like Chevys. I really don't. I've driven Chevys. I hate them. So if it was a Toyota or Ford, I'd probably jump on the truck. But yeah, I don't mind 700 horsepower right there in my hands. That'd be a fun one. So like I said, a few miscellaneous questions. I'm going to jump into some prospect ones here. This one from Rahul Seti. Hey, Rahul, who took over the show a week ago. At Rahul Seti _, fill in the blank, the Angels farm system is blank in the league. So assuming this is a ranking for where they are in baseball, Angels farm system probably ranks around the late teens, maybe up in the 20s, like 21, 22 even maybe. I don't know what the major outlets have ranked them because it's ever-changing. The important thing is if you have depth or not. The Angels still are looking for depth in certain positions, particularly pitching. And down in the minors, they really need that. So, I don't know, middle of the road, maybe the latter half of the second half or whatever it is. But, yeah, they need some help. But thanks for the question, Raul. And, obviously, thank you for taking over the show last week. This next question here comes from NMBaseball52. What do you think is the extent of Kevin Maiton's upside? He obviously won't reach the upside people put on him when he was 16, but can he eventually be an average or above average major leaguer? So Kevin Maiton obviously was, you know, he had body comps and swing comps to Miguel Cabrera, who is a Hall of Fame player when he was 16 years old. That's the unfair part of putting a comparison on a teenager. It's almost absurd and ridiculous. A lot of people do it. It's fine. It happens. But the difference between a body comp and a player comp. So he was the top-ranked international prospect, had the international fiasco with the Braves, came over to the Angels. In reality, he is likely, a lot of evaluators say he's going to be like a power bench off the, or power bat off the bench in the future, likely a platoon kind of player. They kind of are still worried about his physical, his frame is getting large at such a young age. They're really worried about that, but he needs to worry about contact, especially he's hitting like 220 in low A Burlington, which is fine. You know, it's a pitcher league, and your batting average kind of is going to be a little bit take a hit there. But he needs to worry about contact more than anything, and the power is going to come. He has natural power. He has natural strength. He's going to be a corner infielder at best, maybe a third baseman, likely a first baseman. He's likely never going to be an above-average major leaguer. You might be able to work with him. He's a young guy. There's plenty of development left to make him an average major leaguer. But I think when all is said and done, you're looking at a platoon guy on a corner infield position. So thanks for the question, NM Baseball there. Next one here from Michael, at Michael_643DP. That's a great Twitter handle. Just looked at box score stats of all Angels minor league players, and nothing good stands out. Why am I wrong? Michael, I don't know what you're looking at, man. I mean, so think about this. A lot of these players, they start in Burlington where it's cold weather, so a lot of the hitters are going to have miserable stats to start the year. In the Pacific Coast League, they're going to have insane stats all year long. California League, it's going to fluctuate. In Mobile, AA Mobile, that's a pitcher-friendly league. So a guy that has a 750 OPS actually is performing fairly well. You have an OPS over 8, you're doing really well. So look more at numbers like weighted runs created plus. Look more at FIP. I know that sometimes even analytics when it comes to these leagues can really be struggling and troubling. But look at where they rank among league leaders. Look at where they rank among those things. And I think you're going to be really surprised at, you know, maybe a guy's only hitting 240, 250. Maybe he only has a 330 on base percentage. Maybe he only has X amount of home runs, X amount of slugging, things like this. You're looking at a stat line, a standard stat line. But I think you're going to be a little bit more intrigued when you look into the context and the peripherals of what these numbers really offer. And speaking of those guys, Jeremiah Jackson. A few questions here about Jeremiah Jackson. This first one from John Ellis Porter at JLSP. Do you think Jeremiah Jackson may be up in 2021? that might be a little rich for me. Let's see. 2020 is next year. So 2 years, he's a 19-year-old and rookie ball. It's a little rich. I think 2022 is a much more realistic outcome. There's a lot of optimism with him because of his power production right now. He's hitting, he's breaking records in the Pioneer League. I mean, he's two home runs shy of the single season record. If you look back, he's among the all-time leaders in that league, which is really surprising. He has 21 home runs as of this moment right now. For only playing, 50, 60 games so far, he's doing really well. But 2021, that's a bit rich there. And it's going to go into our next question here from Evan Young at Notch Flaw. Where would you place Jeremiah Jackson's power on the scouting scale after this year? Does it play outside of the Pioneer League or Pacific Coast League? Also, thoughts about the number of opposite field home runs seems more unusual. So, talking to scouts and seeing him firsthand, his raw power is above average to plus. And that's from seeing him in Arizona, not the Pioneer League, where the ball really flies. And that's why you're looking at this. Some of those numbers are going to be a little bit inflated, just a little bit. And I was looking at this the other night. He's one of the only guys in league history to have 20 home runs in a single season. I mean, he's, like we said, he's two away from breaking the league record for a single season. So it's his power is playing true, and a lot of it is to opposite field, but that's kind of more from natural strength. When he's hitting the ball, he has great bat speed. I think the biggest thing is he's being a little bit late on pitches, and the bat speed and the natural strength is carrying the ball along with the Pioneer League numbers. So you're going to see a little bit of a decrease when he goes to Burlington, especially when that the park that they play in Burlington kind of keeps the ball in, especially out to right field, which would be opposite field power for him. So you're going to see the power numbers take a little bit of a hit, but he's going to start turning on the ball. We've seen him turn on the ball a little bit more, showing a little bit more natural power. Now, he's hit some monster home runs, so his power is real, but maybe more along the lines of average, so 50 grade if you're talking about a scouting scale, more 50 grade power as opposed to plus power, 60 grade power. But don't ignore these power numbers. It's real. And the bat speed and the strength is definitely real, and he's a special player. So don't ignore that. And to have average power, that's a special thing. I mean, to be able to hit 20 home runs or be expected to hit 20 home runs in the future over the full course of a season is nothing to you know, worry about, especially if he can figure out his contact a little bit. Like we were saying with Maiton, if he could figure out a little bit more contact, the power is just going to come naturally. You know, you're going to run into a few extra balls out of nowhere that you're going to hit out, so it'll be interesting. But yeah, I would say he has 50 grade power, maybe 55 raw power. But a lot of that has to translate when he starts turning on the ball, which he's done recently. So thanks for that question there. Next one, also involving Jeremiah Jackson from Adam Tenenbaum, at Adam_Tenenbaum, says, hypothetically, Will Wilson and Jeremiah Jackson both make it by their projected ETA of 2022. Who profiles more as a shortstop, and who will move to second base or third base? Also, who has a higher ceiling, in your opinion? Jackson has a higher ceiling. If he can tap into his contact along with that power, he's outrageous. I mean, he's a top 100 prospect at that point. Right now, the reason why he's not is the contact rate's pretty low, and it's not necessarily likely he's going to stay at shortstop. He's athletic, but not as athletic as you'd expect him to be. More likely, he's going to move to third base, where the power profile is going to play really well. I also don't know if Will Wilson's going to be a shortstop in the future. I think he's going to be a second baseman in the future, where his offensive profile is going to fit really well. I don't know if either of those guys is going to stick at shortstop. Maybe with the way that baseball is going with the defensive shifts, you can put one of those guys at shortstop and have guys hit into you. They both have a fine, you know, enough arm to play there. They both have enough range to play there, but they're not going to be great or good shortstops defensively. They're going to be average-ish, maybe, at best, depending on how they develop. So, no, I think both of those guys probably move off the position. And as for ceiling, it's definitely going to be Jackson. But I think Will Wilson's a fantastic baseball player, the first rounder from this year. There's a little bit less variance. And when it comes to Wilson and Jackson there, but I think Will Wilson, I think you guys are really going to enjoy watching his progress through the minors. He's a really special baseball player. Next question kind of comes in as a pair of questions from ChapDaddy76 and AJStreet77. And the reason why I'm combining this is essentially the same question. So I'm going to use Chris's question here a little bit. any word on who the Angels are going to send to the AFL, what team they're going to be a part of. If not, who would you like to see go? AJ asked, who do you think are some players the Angels might send to the AFL? That's the Arizona Fall League. Fall League obviously coming after the season, minor league season, into October, November. There's no word as to who they're going to send. It does sound like Joe Adell is going to be sent to the Arizona Fall League for the Angels, especially the fact that he missed part of the season early. So I think they're going to send guys like that. Maybe Brandon Marsh, who missed some time. A guy like Jamai Jones, who's kind of struggled this year and kind of just needs those extra reps to figure things out. It's going to be guys that are working on things. So you're going to see guys like Jamai Jones, guys that were injured for some time. If Chris Rodriguez is healthy enough, that would be a guy you could expect to be in the Arizona Fall League to get extra reps in the winter. And you can ignore those stats. It's exciting to see these guys do the, you know, have great stats and have a success in the Arizona Fall League, but it's more just to get your reps. So you're going to see relievers that didn't get their innings cap, maybe even a few starters that just they want them to get one or two more starts, maybe 10 more innings, and give them that. So those are the guys you're going to see in the Arizona Fall League. I don't remember what team they're going to be on. Ah, I could pull that up. Give me 1 minute here. Actually, no, I do know who they're. It's going to be the Mesa Solar Sox. They're going to be with the Cubs, the Indians, the Athletics, and someone else. The Tigers. They're going to be with the Tigers. Actually, I pulled it up, and I saw it just there. So, yeah, they're going to be with Mesa. So that's the team they're going to play for. And I would expect Joe Adell and Brandon Marsh to be on that team. Don't quote me on that, but I do expect that. Speaking of Joe Adell, this next question coming in from Jones at White underscore Jones 33. Thoughts on Joe Adell's slow start in Salt Lake City? AAA Salt Lake, no opinions. He's got, what, maybe 70 plate appearances, 14, 15 games. He's batting, like, right now I just pulled up his stats. He's got a 300 on base percentage, 317 slugging. I'm not worried about it. 70 plate appearances, it just isn't a size you could worry about, especially for a guy that's Joe Adell's 20 years old, so the average age of the league in the Pacific Coast League is like 25, 26, so he's 5-6 years younger than the average guy in that league. I'm not going to worry about 2 weeks of performance for a player. I think Joe Adell's fine. I have no real thoughts on that. So one last one before we head to break here. This one from MLB Revenge at MLB underscore Revenge. Why don't the Burlington Bees have a play-by-play announcer anymore? So that was Michael Broskowski. A few years ago, he was a play-by-play broadcaster for the Bees. He's now with the Orem Owls. He's been on the show before. We love having Michael on. He's a great friend of the show, great friend of mine. Ownership and so there's a new general manager that's been in Burlington for about 2 years. It's actually the daughter of the former general manager there, and they made a lot of changes. They made a lot of pay cuts. Ownership made a lot of pay cuts. Burlington, I've got to say, the new general manager has improved things, but it's still not very good. And I say that with respect. They have a guy that's running the media relations right now that does a fantastic job. Ted does a great job, and I have nothing but respect for him. Burlington's just, it's a low-budget minor league team, and sometimes these things happen where they can't afford to pay a guy to travel on the road or even, you know, do home games. There's a lot of cutbacks that are going on, and a lot of that has to do with the economy in Burlington, Iowa, which is very poor right now. But yeah, that's the primary reason. I could get into a little bit of the politics of it, but that wouldn't really be fair to a lot of people. Burlington's a great place. It's a great affiliate. The Angels really enjoy playing there, having their farm system there. But Burlington as a whole, you're not going to see a broadcaster there for some time, it sounds like. A lot of pay cuts going on. Thanks for the question, though. We got to head to a short break. Before we do that, though, let's talk about Postmates. Now, Postmates is your personal food delivery, grocery delivery, whatever kind of delivery service all year round. For a limited time, Postmates is giving Locked On listeners $100 in free delivery credit for your first 7 days. Download the Postmates app and use the code Locked On. We'll be right back with more Locked On Angels and more of your questions right after a word from our sponsors. Welcome back to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's good to be back. We're back with our Sunday night Twitter question answer here on Monday morning. If you weren't tuned into the first segment, let me explain it again. I sent out a tweet about 9 p.m. Pacific time here on the West Coast on Sunday nights. I say, hey, send me any and all your baseball questions. I'll answer them here on Twitter, and the best ones make the show on Monday morning. So you want to be a part of the show, follow us on Twitter, at Locked On Angels. You can follow me personally, at Taylor Blake Ward. As promised, we're going to touch on some Angels-based questions, Angels-specific questions here in the second segment. And we're going to start off with the free agent market, which I think a lot of people are very curious about. These are two questions back-to-back. I'm going to have these here first to start with. This one from Garrett Toon at Toonski. Outside of Garrett Cole, what are some moves you'd like to see the Angels make in free agency or trades this offseason? And also, this goes hand-in-hand with at Trout and Adele, Cole Calhoun, Byrne. Who do you think would be targets for the Angels this offseason? Obviously, Garrett Cole is the primary target, and I don't think there's a lot of secret to that. Garrett Cole is not only the best free agent in this market, maybe you could argue Anthony Rendon, maybe, but no, Garrett Cole is the guy that every team is going to want. There's a handful of teams, maybe 10, 15 teams that are going to be able to look into him. Maybe only half of those teams, 7 or 8 teams that could afford Garrett Cole. Garrett Cole has kind of been vocal that he wants to pitch Western. So maybe Houston, LA, LA Dodgers, LA Angels, maybe the Giants. There's a few teams that I think he kind of is focusing in on. But I think Garrett Cole is the obvious one. Outside of that, you got to just fill your rotation. Zach Wheeler, Hyunjin Ryu, take a gamble on Wade Miley or Jake Odorizzi. Maybe even take a real gamble on Michael Pineda, Kyle Gibson. These are guys that I think the Angels really – any pitcher, essentially any arm, even a reliever like Will Smith, I would just – this is a huge offseason for the Angels, and they're going to have to throw a lot of money into the free agent market. They tried to do it last year. You saw them try and go after Patrick Corbin. You saw them try and go after Nathan Eovaldi. They ended up landing Trevor Cahill and Matt Harvey. That did not work out. But I think, you know, I was talking to someone about this. I said, if the Angels can get Garrett Cole and maybe, say, Zach Wheeler or maybe Kyle Gibson. Let's go with Kyle Gibson, someone that fills in that 4-5 spot role for you. So you get Garrett Cole, front of the rotation. You have Shohei Ohtani behind that, Griffin Canning, Andrew Heaney, and you have Kyle Gibson on top of that. You could look at some of these veterans that are looking to just continue their career, not stop and not retire. Give them a minor league deal. See if there's guys out there that want minor league deals late in free agency. Fill AAA with some long-term veterans, or just, you know, give them a minor league deal and a spring invitation or a spring invite, and see if you can get anything out of them. Just a few innings. You just need arms, and that's not to discredit Jaime Barria, Jose Suarez, anything like that, but you need arms and impact arms. And if you can move a guy like Jose Suarez to the bullpen, you can move a guy like Jaime Barria to the bullpen, make them more effective there as a long relief option, that'd be fantastic. JC Ramirez maybe comes back, but no, you need arms. Free agency this year for the Angels, strictly about arms. They're going to add other pieces. They're going to look at they'll probably add a guy like a Jarrett Parker, a Brian Goodwin, and one of those guys might click suddenly and things go great. But I don't think you're going to be looking at Anthony Rendon, not Josh Donaldson, not things like this. You need Garrett Cole and other arms like that. So that's going to be the primary. One non-Angels question here comes from Jason Hernandez, who took over the show, did a great job. I had a lot of feedback saying that Jason did a great job. He took over the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays of the shows while I was gone. He had 6 shows lined up, did him great. Had the great guest, DC Lumberg. Awesome to hear that he was on the show. So you want to follow Jason on Twitter, at StimpyJD, did a great job. This question from Jason says, glad you're back. 2 questions. Who do you see coming out of the AL Central this year? The Twins. I've said it from the get-go, the Twins are doing it. This is the Twins' year to win the Central and make a run for the World Series. They're not Houston, and they're not the Yankees, but don't sell out the Minnesota Twins just yet. They're still pretty solid. Second question, what nickname would you put on the back of your jersey for the Players' Weekend jersey? Ock. A-W-K. Awkward. Awkward. Because I'm an awkward guy. No, that's a family nickname. We wear the number 59 or the number 10, and we go by Ock. So that's that's what I would put. Next question here. Another kind of, it's Angels related in a sense, but it's from Michael. He asked a question in the first segment. We're bringing him here in the second segment, at Michael_643DP. I look at the Astros and Dodgers that keep winning and yet seem to have better farm systems than the Angels for multiple years now. Something either wrong with scouting or development or both. You could, in a sense, say development. The Astros and Dodgers have arguably the best development in baseball. We talked about the Yankees and how they develop pitchers, the Astros and how they develop pitchers, the Dodgers and how they just take athletes and redo their swings and how they do all these things. A lot of that has to do with the finances put into the analytical department and development. And the Astros and the Dodgers were just very ahead of the curve when it came to analytical departments, put a lot of money into that. The Angels are trying to catch up, and the Angels are ahead of a lot of teams in baseball when it comes to this. When Billy Epler stepped in, a lot of things changed. A lot of analytical information came, and it went all the way down from, you know, Major League team has always had the analytical information, but now it's going all the way down to the Dominican even. And that information is really helping these players figure out how to develop, how to adjust, how coaches can work with them. They're hiring very unique coaching and developing staff, non-traditional baseball coaches, and it's helping. And that's what the Dodgers and Astros did. The Angels were just behind, and so a lot of baseball is behind. And we're seeing why the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Astros are so good at developing players and so good at producing players constantly is because they put a lot of money into these analytical systems, a lot of money into their development staff, and that's what's really been the biggest difference there. So a great question, and I hope that was able to answer your question there, Michael. I really appreciate that. Next question here comes from Jimmy at OC Dad Dog. What's holding the Angels back from being a top-tier team year in and year out? Health and situation. So the Angels had their span of time where they were at top of the AL West, top of baseball, and just never won a World Series. It's really hard to win a World Series, and they had that window of opportunity, of success to win that World Series, just couldn't get it done. When that kind of came to a bad part, Jerry DePoto and Artie Moreno made some signings for the team, the Albert Pujols, Josh Hamilton, those signings, Vernon Wells turned into it. Trying to bring in these star players, and then it really impacts your farm system, the way that you can build the farm system. You look at the international market, the Angels couldn't do anything for years. They didn't have a first-round draft pick for years, and that really was a big hit on the Angels, not only depth, but just overall internal program. So they didn't have that ever-constant stream of talent coming to the Major League club. Also, the health has been terrible for the Angels, and that has really held them out from being a top-tier team even for just 1 year. 2014 was the last year the Angels had any success, and a lot of that had to do with they were healthy the entire year. There was no real injuries until Garrett Richards went down with the ACL injury, if I'm remembering right. But that's the biggest thing is keeping the Angels out of the hunt is health. Secondary is the situation the Angels are in. Billy Epler is trying to, you know, reestablish his depth, reestablish the farm system, reestablish the entire organization, and it doesn't happen overnight. I know a lot of people are very critical of Billy Epler right now, and I'm trying to understand why. If you see the big picture, Billy Epler is looking at the window of opportunity in the coming years, Mike Trout's prime years from about 2020 to 2024, and seeing if they can compete in that window. And that's a very hard thing to do. Winning a World Series is hard. You look at the Dodgers, who have had so much success over the last few years. They still have not won a World Series since 1988. And you think about, you know, the Yankees haven't won a World Series in a handful of years, couple years. There's a ton of teams that haven't won a World Series since the Angels have. So just finding that window of success is really important and really challenging. So thanks for that question, though. Next question comes from Jeffrey Tan at HTennis98. Where does Mike Trout hit in your ideal lineup with the current personnel, first, second, third? I bat him second. I want him on base. I want to find guys that can bring him in. I want him running more. That's something I really want more than anything, is I want Mike Trout stealing bases more. Now, you want him to be healthy. You want to keep the hamstring safe, the calf, you know, everything safe. But I want Mike Trout running when he's on base, and I want him scoring runs. He has the ability to bring in runs, but I would just load up the back of the lineup instead with kind of those David Fletcher, Luis Renjifo guys. I would put a guy like, let's say, I would put Luis Renjifo at leadoff, see if Mike Trout can bring him in, and then I'd restack the lineup backwards with David Fletcher, Matt Theis, guys like that. And I would put Shohei Ohtani, Justin Upton, Albert Pujols, 3, 4, 5. And my 6, 7 would probably be someone like I would probably put Andrelton at 6. My 7 would be that throw in, maybe the catcher, whoever's catching that day. My 8 would be Matt Theis getting on base. My 9 would be David Fletcher. You get back to Luis Ranjifo. And maybe Trout has two guys on base for him to produce runs. But I would kind of play it backwards a little bit, and I would put Mike Trout 2nd. I would almost think about leading him off. I really want him on base, and I want him running more. So great question. I appreciate it, but that's my personal thing. So, that's my opinion. You're more than welcome to have a different opinion than I do. There's nothing wrong with that. So next one comes from @Uncle_Maynard. What's up with Shohei Ohtani's helmet always falling off? Have you seen that guy swing? Guy swings. He's got so much torque and so much coming through him. I mean, I'm surprised his shoulder doesn't pop out of socket when he swings. I don't know how his bat or his back doesn't crack and his spine goes, kirk and all that. Gosh, that was such a dumb. I'm so stupid when I make noises and do all that. I'm trying to impersonate a body. No, I don't know why his helmet falls off all the time. That's my guess, is that he's got so much torque it just flies off. Maybe he needs a smaller helmet, but you don't want him constricting the. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I shouldn't. This isn't one I'm qualified to answer. So, next question here comes from Halo Haven @Halo_Haven. Welcome back. Thank you. Appreciate that. With a lot of players having private pitching hitting coaches, how important are the pitching hitting coaches on the bench? They're both important. You think about the team hitting and pitching coaches, they're instructed to do something along the lines of a team philosophy. They're trying to improve the player, but they're trying to improve the team. Now, a private coach is just focused on the player, just trying to improve the player alone, see what they can tap into. But they also don't always have the resources that these teams do. They have a lot of information. A lot of these private coaches have tons of information. You think about pitchers over at Driveline, they have insane information, enhanced video, all kinds of not only TrackMan data, but even beyond that. But the teams have a lot more information, and they're looking at a team philosophy. They're both very important things to have. But if you can work with a private coach and then go to your team and work on something else, you're working within the same structure of something, more to you. I think it only helps the players. Most importantly, just make sure that you find time to let your body heal as well. You see guys that just wear down their body by working out all winter, and they come into summer and they're dead tired. It happens all the time. So great question there. Thanks for that, Halo Haven. Question here comes from the Halo Way @Way_Halo. Since the Angels don't really have any catching prospects in their top 30 or a decent hitting catcher on their roster, why don't they let Matt Theis or Taylor Ward try catching again? Were they not advanced enough to keep them as catchers? Matt Theis was not going to be a catcher in professional baseball. He was fair at best as an amateur as a catcher, and the plan was to move him off catcher. I think every team planned to not have him catch in the long run. Taylor Ward was the interesting one, though, because I've talked to a lot of scouts that have asked why the Angels aren't having him catch. He lost a lot of value by moving off behind the plate. Thing with Taylor Ward, and it's, I got to say this, over the weekend, someone asked me, they were like, oh, I introduced myself. I said, I'm Taylor Ward. And they said, oh, like the Angels third baseman. I said, we'll talk about that another way. But no, Taylor Ward, a lot of people liked his arm. It was receiving and blocking that was really struggling him, kind of the exteriors behind the plate. But if he could hit to his capabilities and also catch, his value would have been fantastic. And there's a lot of teams that actually really still like Taylor Ward and want to move him up. We're going to talk about that in the next question about Taylor Ward. But the Angels just didn't really see it. And you look at what the Angels are dealing with right now. They had to get rid of Jonathan Lucroy because he couldn't block behind the plate. He struggled receiving. They had to go get Max Stassi. It's not that they weren't advanced enough, or it's not that Taylor Ward wasn't advanced enough. It's just that the game changes. Catchers take the longest to develop. And Taylor Ward just, the Angels just didn't see a future in him catching. Now, Taylor Ward loved catching. He still loves catching. I'm sure that, he's been vocal about, he's happy that he's moving around the infield, getting some versatility and everything like this. But I think deep down, you talk to Taylor Ward, he wants to catch. He loved it. And maybe if the Angels come back to him and say, hey, why don't we, why don't we work on this just a little bit? Maybe get you a few reps. Maybe once a week we put you behind the plate. I think he'd be more than happy, and his value would start to skyrocket, not only for other teams that may be looking at him as a potential option, but also, the Angels can use a backup catcher that can hit. They could even use him, all over the field. He could be a super utility playing left field, third base, first base, and catching. That would be a special thing to have, and especially if his bat can pick up. That's the biggest thing, and we're going to talk about that right now. This question here from Job Ainge at Job Alex Ainge, and this is a trio of questions here. The first one is, where is Taylor Ward in the Angels' plan? Seems like the rest of the year is about giving prospects good long looks. Ward has not gotten that opportunity despite gaudy numbers at AAA. And also right after that, do they view him as just a future utility guy? Renjifo, Estella, Fletcher, Theis, Walsh all seem to have surpassed him on the depth chart at this point. They gave him a pretty good look last year. You think that Taylor Ward got about 150 plate appearances, 150 at-bats last year. They gave him a long look, and they're still trying to figure out what they're going to do with him. They're working on things with him down in AAA. There's a lot of positive response as to what he's listening and what he's trying to take to the field with him. Obviously, the performance numbers are outrageous in AAA, but they haven't translated to the major leagues. And to kind of have him be part of the plans, they have to see that success move to the major leagues. And you look at, you listed these guys, Luis Renjifo, Tommy Estella, David Fletcher, Matt Theis, Jared Walsh. Those guys have had more success at the major leagues than Taylor Ward has. And speaking from another, a fellow Taylor Ward, I'm about the biggest Taylor Ward fan in the world. And he's not up to par with these guys yet. And he still needs the development. So keep him in AAA. Keep developing him. And tell him, hey, let's do something that's going to make you suck for a while, but it's going to help you at the major league level. And you're not going to hit 300, 400 in AAA. You're going to be batting 200, but it's going to help you to become a better player at the major league level. You're not going to be slicing balls out to right field, because that's his thing. He's late a lot of the time, and fastballs he's trying to catch up on. That was a big thing in California League, is him trying to catch up on fastballs. They could expose him on the inside, could expose him on the outside. They're trying to work his way through that. They did a great job of that. But the major league level is just so hard to do and hard to kind of deal with when it comes to that. So it's a great question, but Taylor Ward just has to get better. And it's such a weird thing to say, but he has to get better. And the Angels have not ruled him out by any means. They still view him as a possible piece of the future. Maybe not the future starter by any means, but definitely a guy that the Angels have not given up on at all. More here from Job Ainge. The question comes in: Jared Walsh is absolutely tearing it up and is also a pitcher. What is his future with his team, especially given his two-way nature? Bench, fourth outfielder, starting first baseman, trade bait. Jared Walsh, now he just broke the Salt Lake Bees record for home runs for a lefty. He hit 31. He's got his 31st home run last night, and that broke David Ortiz. Yes, that David Ortiz's record with Salt Lake. Obviously, Jared Walsh is beyond the AAA level. He's exceeded what he needs to show at the AAA level. And the problem is he hasn't had success at the major league level. He still has a lot of movement in his swing, and it's not necessarily going to work at the major league level. He's still, if he was 6'4", 6'5", it'd be different. And you could work him in as a lefty in the pen. But he's about 6', so the power is not as true. He can hit the ball real hard, and he can hit for home runs. He can hit for power. But it's not going to be as true, and the numbers in AAA Salt Lake are really going to – the Pacific Coast League, I'm not going to tell you to ignore the numbers, but really take them with a grain of salt. It's such a tough thing to look at those numbers and think that they're going to translate. They're not. And Jared Walsh needs a little bit more size. I think in the long run, they need to give him the at-bats. They need to show him the major league level and expose him to that. And that's going to ruin his trade bait. If there is any trade bait there, I still think Jared Walsh is a little bit better than a 4A player. I think that there's some platoon abilities there. If he can hit right-handed pitchers real well, that'd be fantastic. But you can't really play him because you have Albert Pujols. You can dump Justin Bour at the end of the year and figure that Jared Walsh is going to take over Justin Bour's position there. He's a better fielder than Justin Bour is by a ton. He's a better base runner. But you're surrendering that power. Justin Bour has more power than Jared Walsh, even though the numbers may not show that in AAA Salt Lake. As for pitching, it's an interesting thing. He's not going to be like a reliever. They're not going to put him into any high leverage situations. They can use him in blowout games, which is great for the bullpen. But you also got to kind of protect his arm a little bit. Now, Jared Walsh, I think in the future, they're looking at him as maybe a platoon option at first base. And it's tough to give a guy at bats when you are a platoon option at first base only. I know that he plays the outfield a little bit, but watching him over time, he's not that great an outfielder. Very good defensively at first base. Never take away that credit. But in the outfield, it's a little bit of a liability. So I hope that answered your question. But as for what the plan is for him, just try and get the best you can. And heck, he was a 39th rounder. That's the fact that he's even in the major leagues is a huge success. And you really got to credit Todd Hogan for that the signing scout for Jared Walsh there. Really got to credit the scout there for getting him in the 39th round and trusting that he was going to become what he did. But great questions there. Great questions from everybody. Thanks for tuning in. That's all we have for today's show. Appreciate all your questions. You want to be a part of the show next week, follow us on Twitter, at Lockdown Angels. You can follow me personally, at Taylor Blake Ward. Also, make sure to download today's show or any of the episodes to the Lockdown Podcast Network via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or the new Himalaya podcasting app, free and easy to download through your Apple app or Google Play Store. Thanks again for tuning in. I'm a little bit jet lagged, so if you could hear it in my voice, I apologize for that. It's a long episode, and there's a little bit of wear and tear on the vocal cords. But had a great time in France, and I once again, especially a big thank you to Rahul Seti, Jason Hernandez, and Derek Ciapala for taking over the show while I was gone. They did a great job, and nothing but the best for those guys. And I appreciate the feedback from all of you listening in, telling me that they did a great job. I've sent it back to them. A lot of you have reached out to them. Continue telling them what a great job they did, because they deserve that for stepping in on short notice and taking over the show and doing the job that they did. Reminder that today's show is brought to you by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friends trip. Book your own through Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere, even in France. Hotels.com. Be there. Do that. Get rewarded. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place. For Locked On Angels, I'm Taylor Blake Ward. Stay nasty, Anaheim. We'll see you tomorrow.